The key idea in democracy, to restate, is the people get to choose their rulers. They do it most of the time through elections. That's how they express their preference. And their rulers rule them at their pleasure. When the population is no longer satisfied with a ruler, population can change the ruler. It's called self-government. That is democracy in two sentences. So if you have a system that calls itself democratic, where the people with power prevent the population from choosing certain people to lead them, then you have, by definition, a system that is not a democracy. Again, by definition, we don't need to debate that. This is not something that we have encountered in the course of American history until this election cycle, when you have the frontrunner on the Republican side, in fact, the frontrunner overall, the man who, all things being equal, will be the next president, Donald Trump, invalidated from running for office in certain states. And that's the product of a longstanding effort by permanent Washington to prevent him from running and prevent voters from voting for him. And they're doing that through the courts, as they so often do. Donald Trump is now fighting nearly 100 criminal charges across the United States, for which, if convicted, he would spend the rest of his life in prison. Now, the first thing to know about these criminal charges is they're not what you were promised. You were told for 4 years that Donald Trump was a world historic criminal. And you might have sort of started to suspect that maybe there was some truth in that. Maybe he killed a building inspector in New Jersey in 1975 and the remains would be discovered in the Meadowlands and you like Trump, but you'd have to admit, yeah, he's kind of a criminal. But that's not at all what happened. The 100 criminal charges that Donald Trump faces right now are, with no exception at all, ridiculous. They're picayune, piddling, minor, or they're just absurd and completely made up. One of them comes from the state of Georgia, and it's for election interference, where Donald Trump apparently said something he wasn't supposed to say about the last election. He noted that it was rigged, which it was, we now know. So a district attorney there charged Trump and 18 others with trying to overturn the 2020 election by expressing unapproved opinions. That person, that DA, is called Fannie Willis, and it turns out she's totally corrupt, as corrupt as the charges she filed. How corrupt? Well, you know this already. She's been sleeping with special prosecutor Nathan Wade. Fannie Willis just testified about spending federal funds on vacations with this Wade guy. She said that Nathan Wade would pay for the trips and that she would pay him back with cash she kept in her mattress. Welcome to America 2024, ladies and gentlemen. Here's Fannie Willis.
So let's talk about both of those. I know he initially paid for it. Did you pay him back?
For the cruise and for Aruba. Yeah, I gave him his money before we ever went on that trip.
You gave him cash before you ever went on the trip?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so when you got cash to pay him back on these trips, would you go to the ATM?
No, lady.
You would not go to the ATM?
No.
Okay. So Fulton County pays you direct deposit, I assume?
Yes. Fulton County and the state of Georgia both pay me direct deposits.
Okay. So the cash that you would pay him, you wouldn't get it out of the bank?
I have money in my house.
So my question was, where did that cash originally come from? If it didn't come out of the bank?
Cash is fungible. We had cash for years in my house. So for me to tell you the source of when it comes from, when you go to Publix and you buy something, you get $50, you throw it in there. When it's been my whole life. When I took out a large amount of money on my first campaign, I kept some of the cash of that. Like, to tell you, I just have cash in my house. I don't have as much today as I would normally have, but I'm building back up now. So you just put money in. It's a very good practice. I would advise it to all women.
So you can't identify when you came into this cash or where the cash came from?
I didn't say I couldn't identify it. No, nobody gives me anything. I am sure that the source of the money is always the work, sweat, and tears of me.
So not only is she flamboyantly corrupt and stupid, she's also so filled with self-esteem that she can't bear being asked questions. She's enraged. Donald Trump is the bad guy, not her.
So your office objected to us getting Delta records for flights that you may have taken with Mr. Wade.
Look. I object to you getting records. You've been intrusive into people's personal lives. You're confused. You think I'm on trial. These people are on trial for trying to steal an election in 2020. I'm not on trial, no matter how hard you try to put me on trial.
So my question was, do you have any problem?
I object to getting any personal records of mine.
You did that. I did that. We all did that. That's what happens when you take a person from young childhood and tell that person you're wonderful, no matter what they do, smearing crap on the wall, and you call it art. you wind up with someone who's like an egomaniac and impossible to deal with no capacity for introspection and a total unwillingness ever to admit fault. You wind up with a narcissist, and that's exactly what she is. And it went on like this for hours and hours. One of the most interesting moments in that hearing came from the testimony of Fannie Willis's friend, Robin Yerty. Now, Yerty said that Willis and Wade began having sex in 2019. That would be 3 years before Willis and Wade said they started having sex. Now, if that's true, if the sexual testimony is accurate, that would mean that Willis started having sex with Wade before she hired him to investigate Donald Trump. Watch.
So you know that their relationship, their personal relationship, began shortly after this municipal court conference.
Yes.
And when I say personal, romantic. I just want to make sure we don't get in an argument over what personal and romantic is later. When I ask you personal, do you take that to mean romantic?
Yes.
And do you understand it that their relationship began in 2019 and continued until the last time you spoke with her?
Yes.
So this is the moment when it's important to remember that the United States is a great country. It's the most powerful country in the history of the world. It's got hundreds of millions of really decent, hardworking, honest people living in it. And so you have to ask, why is it run by people like that? Transparent morons who are corrupt and arrogant, who are mismanaging everything. Like, why did we allow that? Why do we allow that? Good question. Meanwhile, over in the state of New York, Donald Trump was just ordered to pay $350 million for the crime of taking loans from banks for real estate deals and paying back those loans. No actual fraud here. He paid back the loans. These are huge banks, some of the biggest banks in the world. They were happy with the terms, but the state of New York is not happy. So CNN has been calling this a crime, of course, for months without explaining what exactly happened. Enter into that Kevin O'Leary, the famous investor from Shark Tank, trying to explain to a CNN host what this actually means. Watch this.
Excuse me, what fraud? This is not about Trump anymore. When you get a developer, that builds a building and he says it's worth $400 million and he wants to borrow $200 million from a bank, which happens every day, everywhere on earth, including every American city, every developer is an entrepreneur. They shine the light on their building and they say it's worth $400. The bank does its own due diligence, as was done in this case, because they're very good at it. The banks are very good. And they say, no, it's worth $300. We're only going to loan you $150 million. That haggling has gone on for decades. That's how it works. And then in this case, even the bank that was supposedly defrauded testified and said, we didn't lose anything. We want to do business with this guy again. We'd like to. But the judge said, no. Let's penalize this developer for $355 million. And we're going to do that. Let's penalize all the developers all across America. They've all done the same thing. All of them should go to jail and we should stop building buildings.
So there's one thing he said that is indisputable. It's not about Donald Trump. It's about our system and whether we should allow a small number of partisans to burn it to the ground for the sake of winning a presidential election. And speaking of corrupt, the Attorney General of New York, Letitia James, who reportedly is worth $15 million despite making less than $200,000 a year in her job. How did that happen, if true? Immediately congratulated herself, as always, after the ruling.
Today, justice has been served. Today, we prove that no one is above the law. No matter how rich, powerful, or politically connected you are, everyone must play by the same rules. We have a responsibility to protect the integrity of the marketplace. And for years, Donald Trump engaged in deceptive business practices and tremendous fraud. Donald Trump falsely, knowingly inflated his net worth by billions of dollars to unjustly enrich himself, his family, and to cheat the system. Donald Trump may have authored the art of the deal, but he perfected the art of the steal.
Oh, come on. So big picture, the rest of us for decades now have been bullied into allowing the dumbest and most corrupt among us to run everything. They occupy positions of power in every big city in the United States, prosecutors' offices, and obviously they're tearing down what they didn't build. That's exactly what we're watching now. Maybe we should stop allowing that. But just last night, Letitia James, who obviously likes being on television, was back on TV saying she's actually more interested in just seizing Trump's buildings, just like we did to the Russian oligarchs. Forget the money. That's not enough. Just take the property. Watch.
New York Attorney General Letitia James says she's prepared to do everything she can to make sure the former president pays his fine, including, she told us, seizing the buildings that bear his name.
If he does not have funds to pay off the judgment, then we will seek, judgment enforcement mechanisms in court. And we will ask the judge to seize his assets.
Seize his assets. Just, we don't like the guy. We can just take his stuff. So big picture, this has been tried in other countries, South Africa, for example. And over time, it just doesn't work. I mean, maybe you win the upcoming election in November. Congratulations. But what do you preside over when you do? Is anyone actually going to be doing business in New York? What's the tax base going to look like in 10 years? Well, of course, you know the answer to that. Everyone does. And yet no one's doing anything about it. Just pretending it's all about Trump. Stephen Miller knows a lot about this subject. He was a senior advisor to President Trump. He's founder of America First Legal, which is one of the few really sensible organizations of lawyers in the United States. We're grateful for its existence. He joins us now. Stephen Miller, thanks so much for coming on. So what do we learn from this? I mean, there are a bunch of different things happening at the same time, efforts to stop Donald Trump from running for president. But they all seem kind of connected thematically. What's your takeaway?
Yes, they are all very much connected. I think the first and most important point is this. You can tell who truly has power in any society by looking at who can persecute an innocent person in broad daylight and get away with it completely. They can announce that they're going to do it, then they can do it. They can finish the job. They can impose the outrageous fines, the outrageous punishments, and they can say, I just did it. And the whole entire society, the whole system can either look the other way or applaud.
Wait. I'm sorry. I have to ask. Letitia James is one of the most oppressed people in American society. Okay. I've been told that for a long time. How can that not be true? I mean, that's an article of faith with me. She's oppressed.
And so this is all part of the performative illusion where she stands up there at the press conference. You know, we're the underdog. We took on the big, powerful Donald Trump. No, you took on the leader of a voiceless opposition party in this country. What you did is you are the ruling class. You are the ones who set the terms, who set the conditions, who control how all of our legal system and democracy runs. And then you're going after the man whose job it is to stand up for the dispossessed and the disenfranchised of this country. The message being, if you out there choose among you a leader to stand up to us, we will decapitate him. That's the message they're sending. You can be unhappy about the border invasion. You can be unhappy about formalized racism discriminating against you and your children and your relatives. You can be unhappy about the decay of our cities and our system, the ruin of our education system. You can be unhappy about all your money, your tax dollars, your property taxes being stolen from you and redistributed to people who have no right to be here, to welfare cheats, and to criminals. And if you choose someone to stand up to all of this, watch us ruin him. Watch us destroy him. And even if he gets into office, as he did in 2017, watch us launch a soft coup day after day after day. And then in 2020, if we change the whole rules for elections, if we change how everything's run, if we break every single law in the key swing states about how elections should be run, watch none of our secretaries of state go to jail, none of our officials, no one implementing the system. The only people who will go to jail are the ones who deign to go to court or to a legislature to seek a redress of these grievances. And then finally, watch us violate the Eighth Amendment in plain view against excessive fines. Right there in the Constitution, our founders feared it. Watch us violate the Eighth Amendment and nothing will happen. And judges will be petrified, terrified to even think of siding with Donald Trump, lest the left go after them too. This is a tutorial in who runs the society and how decayed our democracy has truly become.
Can I ask, though, I mean, you don't need to be a mega genius or a deep thinker to realize that the only thing that makes America good, apart from its natural beauty and natural resources, is the systems that we inherited from England 250 years ago that were the fairest. in the world ever created. And if you destroy those, then what do you have? You may be in charge of the society, but like, is it actually worth ruling over if it's just a husk? Like, aren't they kind of screwing themselves by doing this?
Well, I think the South Africa example you use is very apt. There are certainly other ones. I mean, you go back further in time to the French Revolution, certainly. And yes, when you as a society cross this transom, begin cannibalizing yourself, destroying all of your institutions, ruling by animus, ruling by hatreds, fanning ancient rivalries, you do all of these things, yes, you can in fact gain power by crushing many innocent people. And your society will start to evaporate, and things will not work anymore, and the trains will not show up where they're supposed to, and the planes will fall out of the sky, and everything will become unlivable. But for at least a small group of people, they will still have it very good, albeit it'll be a very small group. Even in North Korea, the elite are doing quite well. So it is possible to have even an incredibly failing society and to have a small upper crust doing well. I think that the piece of this that most are missing, for this to work, there also has to be a segment of the American population that has itself become radicalized. So you have obviously the elites and the rulers, but who sits on these juries?
That's right.
In LA and in DC? Who are the people, the citizens, that are willing partners in this scheme of oppression? Who throw somebody in jail for posting a meme? Who throw people in jail for being mere pro-life activists? Just saying, I don't want there to be late-term abortions. Oh, go to jail. Who are the ones who are facilitating these outrageous abuses of the law? These are citizens who have been radicalized through censorship, through the corporate press, through the political demagoguery of a handful of politicians like an Adam Schiff, who have been trained to think that a portion of the country, a majority, in fact, is the enemy, must be crushed by any means. So it is impossible. It is literally impossible to receive a fair trial in many of America's largest cities for this simple reason. And so what I would say to everyone watching today is, we are not so unlike those who came before us. When you see a neighbor who has that yard sign that says, hate has no home here, refugees are welcome, trans rights are human rights, all of that stuff, it's important to understand that that person, without knowing them individually, is not so different than the person in the French Revolution who was cheering the guillotines on. They were not so different than the communists in the Russian Revolution cheering the executions of the aristocrats. That element of humanity, whether it's driven by jealousy or rage or lust, whatever that human moral defect is, certainly it occurs oftentimes in the absence of a religion. That is now, unfortunately, deeply infected into American society. And so when you have the collapse of our institutions combined with the radicalization of our fellow citizens, we are living in an unusually dangerous moment. And I fear that the addition of another 15 million people illegally into our country who don't have any history in the Western system of justice makes that tipping point arrive much faster.
Would it be a good idea to give those people newly arrived illegally from parts unknown, fleeing, you know, wars in a lot of cases, participating in wars previously in a lot of cases, would it be a good idea to give them automatic weapons and uniforms as members of the military?
I mean, that is, I fear, number one, it has been the Pentagon's top goal for a long time. I mean, going back to my days as a Senate staffer, now seems like a lifetime ago, we were fighting efforts by the Pentagon to put automatic weapons in the hands of illegal aliens. And now, of course, you see cities doing that with police officers. It is, again, it is part of this displacement process of saying that you, the law-abiding citizen, the tax-paying citizen, the citizen who is responsible for communities working and functioning, whether it's why the sewers function, whether it's why the streets are clean or have been historically, how everything works in the whole city, you, the citizen that built this country, will now have others sitting in judgment of you who have stolen, who have thieved, who have robbed, who have broken into this country. And of course, not only will they have automatic weapons, but they'll be made into citizens and they will sit on juries in judgment of you. in judgment of you. And they will now have behind them the power of prosecutors and attorney generals like Letitia James to make sure that they get the message that this is the deal. You get to be citizens here. You get to be part of this country, but know who brought you and know who made you citizens and know who the good guys are and know who the bad guys are. And to your point about what makes us unique, the Western system of justice, it will be the darkest, saddest irony that the crown jewel of the American experiment, which is the English system of justice, is now the instrument of its undoing.
Yeah. Well, we have seen that in a couple of former British colonies. Last question. What's the appropriate response for American citizens of, you know, whatever background or ethnicity or partisan affiliation, but people who just believe in our system, don't want to see it destroyed, don't want to become victims of whatever's next, stop participating? Like, what can the average person do?
I think all that can be done at this point is pushing through all these hurdles, pushing through all of this opposition, is you're going to have to somehow prevail in reclaiming control over the government. And then you are going to have to use every precedent, every system that has been put in place by the left against them. And there'll be no alternative to that. There'll be no nice way to do this, Tucker. The softness has been repaid with cruelty for generations against traditional Americans. Every act of kindness and forgiveness and empathy has been met with the back of a hand or a closed fist. This only ends when you say the precedents that you created will now be used against you. You're saying it's illegal to use the justice system or to use the legislative system to criticize an election? Well, what does that mean for the criminal liability of everybody persecuting now all the conservatives in favor of election integrity? Every single person involved in those persecutions under those same legal theories is guilty of violating civil rights, is guilty of violating constitutional rights, is guilty of conspiracy against the elections of the United States. You use every single precedent in return, because until that happens, the message that every American will receive is that there is a winner in this fight and a loser in this fight. And as much as it may hurt them, Americans will ultimately, in the end, bow their heads in obedience to the winning team, if the winning team is the team that will throw you away and put you in jail, and conservatives, all they'll have are blog posts. In the end of the day, blog posts are not going to win this struggle, Tucker.
Yeah, I don't think National Review is going to save my grandchildren. Fair point. Stephen Miller, it is great to see you, as always. Thank you.
Thank you.
Every power center in the United States and really across the West is arrayed against Donald Trump. They don't want him to run for president, much less win. But Trump does have one arrow left in his quiver, and that's his voters. They are not the most powerful people in the world, but they have the most essential jobs. In general, Trump voters are not working on climate issues or ESG or diversity, equity, and inclusion. They're not staffers at the Aspen Institute or in some bloated university. They are the people who pave the roads and grow the food and then deliver it to your grocery store so you don't starve to death. They are the actual essential workers in this country. And a lot of them really support Donald Trump, and they understand exactly what's happening to him, which he is being crushed beneath the wheels of world power structures, obviously. And so some of them, truckers, long-haul truckers specifically, are now refusing, in response to what's happened to Trump in the state of New York, to deliver goods, essential goods, to New York. And that would include groceries and fuel. Jake Logan has spent many years delivering these things, fuel specifically. He's a hazmat trucker who drives all over the Mountain West through some of the most dangerous passes in the continental United States. He supports this boycott. He joins us now from Salt Lake City to tell us why. Jake Logan, thanks so much for coming on. I summarized.
It's great to see you, Tucker. Thank you.
It's great to see you. And I summarized really quickly what you do for a living, but will you just explain it a little more? What's your job, just for some context?
My job simply is to haul and deliver fuel, diesel fuel, to small mountain towns across the West, across the Rockies. Just most beautiful country, the finest people you'll ever want to meet.
So that would include in the winter, having been through some of those passes, you know, 10 or 12,000 foot passes in the Mountain West. What's it like to drive a fully loaded diesel fuel truck down that grade?
It can be an adventure. Sometimes if there's too much snow, they might close the road for us. Or they'll have chain restrictions. We'll have to chain it up. But you'd be surprised how quickly you can get used to driving one of these big rigs, these fuel trains across the Rockies. It's spectacular.
It sounds it. And it's also essential. It's not a job that just anyone can do. And without it, without diesel fuel, then the country grinds to a halt and people starve to death. So I just wanted to make it really clear up front that you don't work at some nonprofit in Boston or a biotech firm. You're actually keeping the country alive.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
So with that in mind, like, why would you support Trump? Why would you have strong feelings about what happened to him in New York? Tell us your view.
Well, I tell you what, I am proud to stand with my fellow brothers and sisters in the trucking industry. They are among President Trump's strongest supporters. And we, along with other MAGA patriot Americans, have been watching how this government has been persecuting President Trump. And we are fed up with it. Americans and truckers primarily are standing up and saying, we have had enough. And this boycotts have been very effective in the past. And I support this boycott, and hopefully this will just be the beginning. I would support boycotts of other blue cities. And this is our way of peacefully protesting and hopefully bringing President Trump back to the White House.
But how is it going to work? Won't people in blue cities, you know, all the kids who work at Citibank and JP Morgan, won't they just grow and truck their own food into the city once you refuse to do it?
I tell you what, there might be some of it, but trucker boycotts in the past have been extremely effective. I'll give you an example. In Colorado a couple of years ago, there was a trucker that was involved in a terrible accident, lost a life, just tragic. The state of Colorado sentenced that trucker to 110 years in prison. Now, when American truckers heard about that prison sentence, they organized a boycott against the state of Colorado. Within a month, those truckers brought the state of Colorado to its knees. That judge resentenced the trucker from 110 years to 10 years in prison. I tell you, Tucker, we have a lot more power than people realize.
Well, yeah, because you keep the country alive. I wonder, you really get the sense, and maybe that the sentence that you just told us about in Colorado was an example of that, but that the people who run things in Washington and New York and LA don't like you. They don't like the way you look. They don't like your race. They don't like your gender. They don't like your attitudes. Why the hostility? What do you think you ever did to them?
I think that this is just my personal opinion, but I believe that liberals are required to be lockstep with whatever directive comes down from on high,
yeah,
from the left. Now, conservatives, this is one thing that I love about being conservatives, because we don't have to agree with our leaders, and we don't even have to agree with each other. Liberals are required to be lockstep with everything the left says, or they will suffer the consequences. I don't understand why, but that's just the way it is. Conservatives, we can think for ourselves. I am a huge Trump supporter, you know, dyed in the wool Trump supporter. But I don't always agree with President Trump, but I tell you what, I have never seen a fighter as strong as President Trump. And I am happy to cast my ballot for that man this coming November.
So how do you think this boycott against New York City and other blue cities, blue states, I guess all the cities are blue. How is this going to play out, do you think?
You know what? It'll be interesting to see, because if it does succeed, you're looking at empty store shelves, empty gas tanks, and people don't like that. People don't like going without, especially Americans, especially people in blue cities, and they're gonna want something changed. And I firmly believe in that. And like I said, boycotts have been very effective in the past.
So boycotts are you know, obviously common throughout American history. You haven't seen very many recently, but going back the last 100 years, there have been a lot of them. In other countries, all through Europe, France particularly, in Canada, truckers have blocked roads. I'm not endorsing that or calling for it, but it's certainly happened. A lot of it's happening now in Europe. Can you imagine that happening here, or anticipate that happening here?
That's a great question, Tucker. In my opinion, I don't see that happening. American truckers, we like to keep things moving. We like to keep those, right, those shelves stocked and those gas tanks full. But you have to understand that it would take something huge for us to stand up and say, okay, we have had enough of this. And this, watching the persecution of President Trump, I mean, President Trump is dying the death of a thousand cuts every single day. And, you know, God bless that man. But he can't do everything by himself. And it's time for the American people to stand up and support our president.
So what you're doing, what you're describing, is a group of people organizing for a political end. You want the state of New York to stop persecuting Trump illegally, which they're doing. But the second you organize politically, you come under scrutiny from the FBI, for example, DOJ. And you saw what happened to the people who thought they had a constitutional right to protest on January 6th. A lot of them are still in prison. Do you worry about that happening to you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's always in the back of your mind, because what we thought was the FBI seems more like the muscle arm of a cartel these days. They're, you know, they're raiding a president's home. They're spying on a president. I mean, it's just beyond the pale. None of us could imagine this happening 10, 20 years ago, but here we are. And we just can't sit by it and let it happen. And like I said before, this is our peaceful protest. And yes, we're all under scrutiny. I'm sure of that. Absolutely, Tucker.
Yeah, you certainly are. Jake Logan, thank you. Thank you for telling us about that. And thanks for keeping America running and bringing diesel fuel into mountain towns. Appreciate it. Nice to meet you.
Thank you, Tucker.
Free speech is bigger than any one person or any one organization.
Societies are defined by what they will not permit.
What we're watching is the total inversion of virtue.